This podcast replay is brought to you by Craig Zinn's Acura Pembroke Pines. Visit the number one volume Acura dealership in the Southeast United States 12 years in a row at 15601 Pines Boulevard in Pembroke Pines. It's funny how Vlade Divac, years ago, coming from the world of Europe, where flopping was, you know, normal for soccer players, Vlade was patient zero, patient X, came to the NBA, brought flopping, and now flopping is something that has gone over to football also, and we know it's all over basketball. And so now, you know, in soccer again, in-season tournaments are something normal that's been part of soccer life. So it looks like basketball is thinking about inheriting something else from the world of soccer. What do you hear about this in-season tournament, which is planned for a couple of years if they decide to do this?
You know, it's all about the money. Do they get the television partners on board? Can they generate additional revenue? Then anything's a go, because just like the play-in tournament. But, oh, to me, there's a fundamental difference why this is a terrible idea. Okay, I understand in soccer, you have UEFA, you have the FA Cup, for example,
CONCACAF
in Britain.
Yeah.
In Britain, you have it everywhere. But here's the difference. In soccer, you don't have playoffs, except here for Major League Soccer. You just have a table and the season ends. So you don't have a whole additional major part of your season. Here, even in the MLS, you have a soccer playoffs, which to a lot of players in the MLS is like, playoffs? What's that? The table is done. We got our points and we're done. So I think a tournament in season works in soccer because that's their secondary championship. There's the regular season, the only season. You finish at the top of your table after the final week of the season, you're done. So you can play something else. I don't see how a league that also has playoffs should also hold a tournament. Because first you're crowning, you know how this goes, you're crowning a regular season champion. You're crowning a playoff champion with separate statistics and a separate MVP. And now you're having a third thing. That's where I think this falls flat, is that it is different than soccer. You're never getting rid of your playoffs. Playoffs are an American thing. You have it in all of your sports. But I think adding another in-season tournament, so what? So it's not holding the NBA championship. It's not holding that trophy. There's not a playoff system that's going to be better than the NBA playoffs. I think it could be intriguing. I understand you can offer $1 million per player, they're talking about, to the winners, which is great for Max Strus and Gabe Vincent. But you know what? For Jimmy Butler or someone who's making 40, some of that Steph Curry, $50 million now, is it worth it to play those extra games and risk injury when it's all about whether you're an NBA champion, not a Stern Cup champion or something like that?
You know, when I read that, what came, and I'm with you, I don't think you need to do that here. Plus, I don't think we'll appreciate it as Americans. I think we'll look at it as a gimmick is what we'll end up looking at it. Like, even in soccer here in this country, you know, we have the U.S. Open Cup. And that's, and let me tell you, the MLS players, they hate playing the U.S. Open Cup. I've been covering this thing for years. And obviously, if you're in the NASL, which no longer exists, but or the USPSL or the now it's called the USL One, you know, those kind of things in USL. If you're in the lesser leagues in this country, because believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, there's a second and a third and a fourth league in this country. Yeah, you look forward to that. Obviously, you want to play against the big boys, but we don't even take it serious even in this country that much. On the upper levels of the MLS. So when I look
and
at
one
it,
other, and
go ahead.
One other thing, though, to add to your thought there, think about even the Gold Cup. The U.S. was fantastic in the Gold Cup this year. They beat Mexico. And yet when the U.S. lost their first two CONCACAF World Cup qualifiers, every analyst, whether it was Alexi Lalas, whether it was anyone else, they were talking about it didn't matter. All that matters is World Cup qualifying. Right. No one cared that you're Gold Cup champion. What the hell is the Gold Cup? So, again, that's a difference in mentality also. It has to have some discernible payoff. You know what would make it special? Oh, this. If the team that wins the cup becomes the U.S. Olympic team. Think about that.
Okay.
Think about if it had something tangible, that instead of sending an all-star team, all we hear about is these NBA all-star teams, the Olympics, they haven't practiced together, and the other international teams have. So maybe one out of every 4 years you hold the NBA Cup and the winner goes to the Olympics. That'll motivate players. That'll draw my interest to see which NBA team is going to go over to the Olympics that year. That would be a way to do it. But it would be nothing more than soccer's gold cup to U.S. fans. Hey, it was great. They finally beat Mexico. So what? They also crapped out their first two games in CONCACAF Olympic World Cup qualifying. You know, it's we know. We're smart. Especially here on the Big O Show, we know what matters more. You can't fool us.
Yeah, I'm with you. The only thing that I thought might make it interesting is if you grab the top four or six basketball leagues in the world and you get the champions of all those leagues and maybe the runner-ups, and then you kind of play a tournament at one point in the year and something like that. That maybe might be interesting. But an in-season tournament, see, because that way at least we can get jingoistic, we can root for our Americans and all that good stuff, and then all the other countries can root for their champion from their league in their country. That's maybe something that could work.
Nah.
You know what I mean?
NBA players wouldn't care. Just like, as you know, Big O, MLS teams sit a lot of their prime players in the Lamar Hunt Cup and, you know, things like that. Because it just doesn't matter as much to them. The Premier League teams in the early rounds of the FA Cup, they sit their best players also. So, you know, we are what we are. Look, I have no issue with trying to juice the game a little. I have no difference hockey went to 3-on-3 overtime or the NFL changed overtime and a field goal doesn't end it. I understand tweaks to the game. We should evolve to the attention spans of fans. But I think sometimes you got to understand we are inherently different from world sports to some degree also.
Yeah, no, it's kind of like when it's funny when I hear soccer fans in this country. Well, no, you guys had to, you know, put in regulation and promotion. I'm like, dude, we're Americans. We don't do that. It's
right.
Go look at all of our sports. You think these billionaires are going to invest in something that can be sent down? Do you know what the minors are in this country? The minors are close to hell. You're right next to hell. It's not like in England that the first division gets a ton of support, actually. People care about the second and third divisions that are under, you know, the
Oh, no, the championship in the Premier League is just as big almost, and there's some teams there that have been on the cusp for years. They have big stadiums. But can you imagine David Beckham finally getting, maybe, his Miami stadium built, and all of a sudden you wind up relegated.
Boom,
and
to the
you're
USL.
Talking about tonight's big game against Spokane.
Yes,
try selling that in Miami.
Yeah, no, and they have Fort Lauderdale CF there. So imagine you get sent down to join that league. You know what I mean? It's like, oh crap.
And Fort Lauderdale's promoted, and all of a sudden they're still playing the most important games over there by Commercial Boulevard.
That is just absolutely awesome. I saw in some of your articles that you were talking a little bit about, is more offense going to be required from Jimmy Butler? And then I read it, and look, there's a part of me that here's the way I got enraged with that.
Okay.
if this effing team needs to lean on Jimmy Butler the entire year, I'm going to be pissed, because then I know Butler's going to be out of gas at the end, and then this is the year where Bam and Tyler and Duncan have to carry some big time weight here and make life easy for Butler, make life easy for Lowry, save these dudes for when it matters, because that's what they were made for. So let's not burn their asses out in the 82. Let the young guys need to effing step up today, this year. And, you know, we're crossing fingers, if you could get Depot healthy towards the end of the season, then he also needs to help carry the load. My point is, the young guys better do their job, and you better not be wearing Jimmy out for the entire season, because I don't think that benefits Miami in the postseason.
Yeah, the point I was trying to make at Ask Ira today at SunSentinel.com was this, is that you've lost the offense of Goran Dragic and of Kendrick Nunn. You've replaced it with Kyle Lowry, but not all of it. Jimmy Butler's never been a 25-point-a-game scorer. It's just not who he is. Right. Chicago, Minnesota, Philadelphia, don't think he'll be that here. So they have to find offense somewhere else. Maybe it is the natural growth, like you pointed out, Big O, of young players like Bam Adebayo and Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero. Maybe. You don't know it until you can see it. Otherwise, I think this team, adding in a P.J. Tucker and a Markieff Morris, that's not the offense.
No.
Dwayne Dedman, even Omer Yurtseven as a young player, that's not going to be there. So it'll have to come internally. But I still think it could be a struggle until the one point you made, and I didn't make that in that piece because I had space limitations. If Victor Oladipo comes back, I've got my offense. He's a known NBA scoring quantity, and it's there. Maybe my midseason will see that. Otherwise, I do think when this season starts, you know, last season the Heat did not have a single scorer in the top 25 in the NBA in the individual scoring race. That makes it harder. Yeah. It's a lot easier to give the ball to Damian Lillard and say score, or Bradley Beal and say score. When you do it collectively and you need three, four, five guys to score 15, 18 points, everyone's got to be, you know, sort of at their moment, at their scoring level in those games. So I think offense will be interesting. Maybe Kyle Lowry says, screw it, I got 85 million, I'm going to score more points. Or maybe Jimmy Butler says, as the questioner asked in Ask Ira at SunTechno.com, because Jimmy doesn't have to be facilitator, because there's another defender in the backcourt in Kyle Lowry, maybe Jimmy can turn his focus a little more to offense. But that's where Eric Spoelstra is going to come in. Media day, the first day of camp is 2 weeks from today. Eric Spoelstra is going to come in and talk defense, because that's what Miami Heat coaches do. But I'm going to be keeping an eye on the offense, Big O.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. And I'm going to be frustrated if the three young cats don't pick it up, because I think this team, actually, at least for this first season, I worry about other seasons because, man, they're getting older up there.
Sure.
But those young guys have to prove that they can carry the load night in and night out and use – and then all those other guys you talked about are going to help you out defensively so much. And I think that's the Heat's vision, is that, hey, our young guys will pick it up a lot more. You know, we could get Lowry and Jimmy to do their thing late in the season, the postseason, to put it over. And then we've got our core of guys that are dedicated to defense and will help, you know, obviously stop the opponent. And then our guys will score, because the way the team is built, they're counting on those three young cats, man, to step it up. And
yeah. And
maybe even if the Struce gets loose, you get another shooter in there. And hey, listen, who knows? He might be a hell of a lot more consistent than Kendrick Nunn at shooting that three.
Sure. And look at Tim Duncan, I wish. Look at Duncan Robinson from year one to year two.
That's right.
The Heat players grow also. So,
yeah.
You know, Duncan Robinson came in the first year, couldn't defend anyone, so they couldn't keep him on the court. Then he comes in, all of a sudden has this breakout record-setting second year. Maybe Max Strus maybe is on that curve, but you know what? I wouldn't doubt the Heat's developmental program. It's special enough. Yeah, I'm curious about that also.
I definitely would never underestimate the Heat's development, that's for sure. Or scouting now. I mean, that's you just never know what they're going to end up finding.
Who they are.